Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the scripture has said, we bless the Lord at all times. Your praise shall continually be in our mouth. That is what we are created for, having eternal friendship with you. Lord, we thank you, we worship you. It's a good thing to be together around the word of God again. Father, we pray and we ask that we bless the reading of your word this morning. Let it be mixed together with faith in our lives. And help us now and in the days to come. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 12, the first two verses of Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So every of those two verses can be a sermon in itself, but I will just take the second verse and so on, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We are in a race, isn't it? Let us never forget that. And let us run it with patience. And so, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, in Matthew the 14th chapter, I recorded many things about our Lord Jesus Christ, miraculous things. What has come to him from the disciples of John the Baptist, that Herod, that wicked king, because John the Baptist has told him that, look, it is wrong for you to have your brother Philip's wife. And everything that could have killed him right away, but because he feared that people knew that John was a prophet, didn't it? So, but he had his day on his birthday, Herodias, his wife and so on, that, her daughter danced so fancifully before him. So then he said, he promised me, what do you want me to give you? He said, and he said, okay. Anyway, you know the story, how that he asked for the head of John the Baptist, Can you imagine how wicked people have been in this age? A woman asking for the prophet's head. Can you imagine? I just was wondering about that story as long as that, A woman, what is wicked? I can trace that woman back to Cain. Amen? The daughters of Cain. And they called, beheaded the John the Baptist head in the prison, put it in a charger and take it to her. Can you imagine? I don't even wonder in any way, is it? Anyway, so the law was told, so the disciples came and took his body from prison and buried him. And they came to tell the Lord Jesus about what happened and so on. The Bible said that the Lord now departed to a desert place after he heard that and so on. The Bible said he took sheep, really. And he doesn't always exercise all of his divine power and authority, right? That's why he came as a baby, right? And people missed him because he did what he did and so on, because he's God. Anyway, so and went to a desert place alone, he took sheep and went. But people are always trailing him. It's all in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. And so people now went on foot from villages and so on to go and trace him and went to where the Lord was. Before he looked up, he saw multitudes and so on, multitudes. And according to his way, he does things, he had great compassion upon them. And he healed all their sick. That is what he came to do, right? In Luke 4:17, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, deliver to the captive, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised. That's what he came to do. He came to save the world. I do not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent, and what he said, Anyway, so, and multitude and so on, he healed them. all manner of sickness and heal them all and stuff like that, you know. So don't always know, God Almighty, he took sheep, you know, and all that, you know. He will work many miles to preach the gospel. Well, he could have just gone there supernaturally if he wanted to. Anyway, so, and as the evening came, same thing the story in Matthew 14, evening came and the disciples said, look, Master, it is evening, and these people come from all these villages, and let us dismiss them so that I can go and get this year, meaning food, you know, and so on. Master said, don't send them away, you know. What do you have? He said, we have five loaves and two fishes and so on that, you know. Anyway, in one other version of the scripture, say, what is this among so many, you know? They forgot, they didn't know him. He was the one who fed over 2 million, you know, over the period of 40 years in the wilderness. The same one, amen? Praise the Lord. What is 5,000 people plus children and men to him? Praise the Lord Jesus. He told them, they thought it was Moses. In John chapter 6, I believe it is, or 7. So Moses gave them the manna. He said, Moses didn't give you that manna. My Father who is in heaven gave you that manna. Why? I and the Father, we are one, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm seeing the real world changing my title all the while and so on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We will pick it up from here in Matthew 14:22, talking about looking unto Jesus. I want to begin from verse 32 where I am now. So, after he dismissed the people, all the people, then the Bible said that, straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side. Why, he sent the multitude away, the Bible says. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Remember, he got to that place first of all, being himself alone, right? It is his manner to do that. Praise the Lord. What a great blessing on prayer. Get alone, amen? Praise the Lord with God. Whenever you are, when you have to pray about and so on, that thing. He got there alone when they hear about John the Baptist and so forth. And that's how he left the place. He went alone to a mountain place to pray. And he said to the disciples, you know, many lessons to learn from the Lord in this chapter and so on, that, you know. Tell them away and so on, that, you know, teaching us many things and so on. So anyway, but the sheep, verse 24 says, but the sheep was now, in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. For the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. See, sometimes we display divine attributes and power sometimes. Sometimes, when you obey, he took sheep, right? This time around, he didn't take any sheep, amen? He is the Almighty, amen? Hallelujah! You know, he didn't always display all his power, but this time around, anyway, so we see, unto them, walking on the sea. And then when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Even Peter and the rest of them cried out for fear. John and all of them. Praise the Lord. They were just men. I mean, Elijah was a man of like passion, you know? Praise the Lord. I control you and I. Praise God. The difference that they are walking with the Master and the Holy Spirit and so forth. You know, that's what makes us to be different. The indwelling of God in us. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, so, and, you know, so, I know, but straight away, sorry, and then, so, and you know, so they said, I saw his spirit and so like that, you know, and but straight away, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, always saying that, it is I, be not afraid, he's always saying that, even in the book of John, the 16th chapter, I went last verse, by the last verse, in the trouble, the world you had tribulation, but be of good cheer, he's always talking about to be of good cheer, amen. I have overcome the world, amen. This time around, he said the same thing. Be of good cheer. And that is telling you every day, in whatever situation you are at and so on, if you can listen enough, you will hear that voice, that small voice, amen. The Holy Ghost voice, amen, will tell you those things, amen. Be of good cheer. Praise the Lord Jesus. No matter what you are passing through and so on, if you listen enough, if you don't let the waves and so on crack his voice from you, you're going to hear him say something to you. He'll be sharing you up and so on. Anyway,
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be done, bid me come unto thee on the water. And of course the Lord is not anyone to be selfish about anything. Everything that he has is given to us and so on. He doesn't multiply power. He may praise the Lord. The Lord never multiplies his power. That's why in John 14:12, if thou believest on me, the work that I do shall they do. And even better works than this shall they do. That is the Lord, amen. Man can multiply power, they can be safe, they want to be dear, no, not the Lord. You know, not to anyway. So come on, Peter. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. That means that is God. You know, if you read it properly as well as you know. Anyway, so we see. So as the Lord prayed, or the man said, as you can begin to see, a violent wind arose and swept down through the barren hills of that particular place in Israel and so on, that you know. And you know Satan, he knows how to strike one blow after another and to confuse the person, anybody believing God or trying to do anything for the Lord and so on, that you know. And the Lord knew what that wind meant. He knew he had sent the disciples out across the sea, and he knew that they were going out there at his command, and they would be in trouble with that kind of wind and so on, that you know, blowing upon the sea and so on. In all likelihood, because we might think that maybe when he said they should go, they didn't get into the ship right on time. Maybe they were thinking that, oh, the Lord will soon come back and join them. Because how will they know? He said, you know that side, how will they know how I will come and meet them at the other side? You see what I'm saying? Maybe they were delaying a little bit to say, well, maybe he will come back. He was alone to go and pray somewhere. But when the last night was coming, oh, it's not coming. They went on the ship anyway, without him and all that, you know. Anyway, they haven't gotten so far and so on like that, because that wind began to blow. It was contrary to where they were going, and you can imagine that. So they couldn't make any headway. They weren't making any headway and so on like that, you know. Then the Lord drew near unto them, the Bible says. And in Mark, let me read the Mark version of the same story in Mark 6, verse 48. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. And would have passed by them, the Bible says that. But as they look up, so to say, just imagine it there, they saw a figure, with a fluttering robe, treading upon the ridges of the waves of the water. Thinking they have seen a ghost, the disciples cried out in fear. But they were reassured when by his voice, for straight away Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid, he says. And that's a familiar voice to them, right? The voice of the Master, who meant so much to them, made them lose their fear. That's what it should be doing to all. You hear that word of God, it should make you lose your fear. It's as good as seeing something before you and telling you something. Whatever I tell you in the Bible today, if it appears to you right now, they say the same thing. Of course, just recapping this story. Then Peter, recovering from his fear, and since he's always seen something anyway, he asked, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And the Lord said, come anyway. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus, just with Peter, but he said, I've read before. Meanwhile, the other disciples were the ones, they were content to observe, looking on and watch with undisguised amazement. What they thought was rashness on Peter's side, you know, just walking, you know, watching amazement and spirit. What is he doing? Well, many people always say, oh, Peter began to sink and so on. Don't forget, he walked on water too. Amen. Praise God. He did walk on water. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is good and so on. He walked on water. People always speak that, oh, he was sinking and so on, but he did walk on water. You know, so anyway, and question began as he began to wonder. Bible said when he saw the waves boisterous and so on, fear crept into his heart. Question began to arise in Peter's heart. Why have I attempted to walk on the water? I'm just thinking now. Why had I been so reckless to try to do what the Lord is doing? Maybe the question asking is that and so on. And as Peter let fear possess him, he began to think. So true, how true it is, fear destroys. Amen? I say fear destroys.
Amen.
They can destroy many, many beautiful things of God in one's life and so on. It's an enemy, really, you know. Throughout the Bible, one can even preach many, many times on fear alone. Be not afraid. Everywhere. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Anyway, so we see. Now, important truth to remember about this story when one is seeking the love or any deliverance of anything is this. As long as the children of God keep their eyes, I say I call it looking unto Jesus, right? As long as God's children keep their eye on the Lord Jesus Christ and his promises, they will have victory over their situation, any place, any time. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
If you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus, that is the moral of this story, why I believe the Lord recorded it and so on like that, you know. If you keep your eyes on him, in the word of God, you will have victory over all the situation around you. But looking at the water and the waves, so to say, of this life, the water and waves of this life, or looking at the symptoms for those who are looking for healing and dwelling on their, you know, on their feelings, then what happens? That will not work, you know. You just take his word and believe him. So let us resolve not to look at conditions, but rather at the promise that the Lord has given us, amen? Over anything you need, over any situation. There is nothing you are going to need in this world that the word of God having given a promise for you, amen? And they are there. Bible says he has given unto us freely all things to enjoy. All, the Bible says, praise the Lord. Everyone that asketh, receive it. Seek and you shall find. You know, knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's what he said in the word, right? So you keep your eye on those things and so on that you know. You are going to be victorious anytime. Don't let the waves of this life get your eyes away from the promises of God, you know. So let us resolve, therefore, not to look at conditions around us, but rather at the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. It can never fail. He told us in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but he shall accomplish that which I please, and he shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. One can always, whatever you need from the Lord, you can always come to some of these verses, say that God has said that his word will never, you know, go unfulfilled, and then your faith will build up, no boomerang, your faith will boomerang, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Let me read the next verse, kind of a, I know, an accompanying prophecy we can take with us this morning and every day of your life. Verse 12 says this, for you shall go out with joy shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break fall before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is eternal word. Take it with you everywhere, anywhere you go, and so you shall be as the Lord has spoken. We are to be careful to not let doubt rob us of what God had already done for us. See, he was already walking on the sea, right? But that came, the Lord rebuked him. Why doubt that? Why do you doubt, you know? See, doubt is a robber of the things of God if we allow it. Anyway, so, so that's what the Lord rebuked him for. See, why are you doubting and so on like that, you know? So, verse 30 of Matthew 14 says this. But when he, Peter, saw this, the way boisterous, he was afraid and began to think. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Just want to repeat that we should not be doubting the Lord. When you hear his word, believe, and all that, you know. Another thing is, we don't know how far the Lord was from Peter when he grabbed him. Was he supernaturally transported to him to get to him? If it's like, I don't know, for that house there, how did he immediately grab him? The supernatural that the Lord does many times, you know. Whether he walked to him right away or he was taken right away and jumped to Peter, we don't know. But he was there immediately. He grabbed him. Now, we receive things, we receive things from the law by faith. All that we have from the law is by faith. Even salvation is by faith. We are told that by grace, are we saved through faith, right? Ephesians 2:8, I believe it is. Not of ourselves, really. As is the gift of God. So all we have from the law is by faith. And we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says, it was a miracle, really, when Peter walked on water. It's a miracle indeed. Yet, when he took his eyes off of Christ and looked at the waves and the tempest, he began to sink. One thing that Peter did do anyway, and did at the right time, quickly, and so before it was too late, was that he cried out to the Lord and so forth. And what happened? He ran out of his own faith. Then he depended upon the faith of the Lord Jesus. You see? He ran out of his own faith in that act that saved him from drowning. You know, he abandoned his own faith, and then depended upon the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Lord said in one place in Mark 11:22, have faith in God, he said. Or another translation says, have the faith of God. So the thing is, when natural faith fails, we may depend upon the supernatural faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's another lesson we are learning from this incident and so forth. Yeah, his own faith fails, but he depended upon the faith of the Lord Jesus, and he was saved. Here we see the difference between natural faith and supernatural faith. There are all kinds of faith. There is little faith, there is great faith, and so on, that, you know. There is natural, there is supernatural faith. Peter started walking on the water on the strength of his own natural faith, and it was not sufficient. In this moment of peril, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Now, typically in many Christian life, we can identify two faces and so on. Especially when people first come to the Lord and so on. Now, concerning faith, I mean, there are the two faces. In the first phase, there is tendency for a child of God to walk in the flesh to a considerable extent. If he has confidence in his own natural abilities and will seek to accomplish spiritual things in his own strength, it happens. Much more so younger Christians and so on. Like even older Christians and so on. That's always a tendency to want to attempt to accomplish spiritual things with natural faith and so on, like, you know. But as people begin to develop in the Lord, later or sooner, they're going to run into a situation, a crisis situation and so on, like, you know, which is beyond their own ability to resolve. That's where many Christians begin to build up powerful faith. Because we run into a crisis where their natural faith couldn't carry them and so on. And You know, when their faith fails, then in the last resort, they will depend upon the Lord. They will cry out to the Lord, as Peter said, and so on. Save me, Lord, and so on, that, you know. And the Lord is always merciful to his people. He will reach out anytime we call upon him, and so on. When our faith is not enough, look unto him, and so on. Look at the word of God, you know, and that he will be there, you know, with the arms stretched out, to save the situation, and so forth. So together with the Lord Jesus Christ, in any situation, we can walk over life threatening waves victoriously. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are waves, the events of this life are contrary to us as we are moving towards heaven and so on. All kind of powers and so forth. Ephesians 6 tell us about many of those things. You know, rest against flesh and blood, against principality, against power, against the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. I always rejoice that we are not left at their mercy anyway. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Put on the whole armor of God. We are living that era now. Praise the Lord Jesus. Helmet of salvation, no. Breastplate of righteousness. Your loins gathered with the truth, which is the word of God. Don't be deceived now. If it were possible, it will deceive the very elect. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Your faith is sure with the preparation of the gospel and so forth. The shield of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can question all the fiery darts of the devil and the sword of the spirit too, which is the word of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. So blessed be the name of your soul, you know, faith will come through the word of the Lord. So waves of this life, but through the word of God, and we can walk over all of it victoriously with the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the trust must be in the Lord Jesus Christ instead of our own natural ability. That is the thing I learned about this thing and something that, you know, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just read a few scriptures about trusting the Lord. Maybe two or three scriptures about trusting God. Psalm 37 verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Psalm 115 verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Any place, any time, trust it in the Lord. Let's get about two of them. There are many of them in the Bible. Psalm 125 verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord is a wonderful thing and so on. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, not haphazardly, not half, with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Let's get one more. Isaiah 26 verse 3 and 4. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because why he trusted in thee. You know, there are many things today to give people a shaky mind. You know, that's how to fix your mind. That, you know, on the logic, on the word of God. But for the trust ye in the Lord forever.
Amen.
For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So not in our own ability, it is his ability, his strength. You want to say, blessed be the Lord, my strength. See? So blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, there are many miracles in this chapter, not just that we can all learn from and so on, that you know. So when the Lord and Peter got into the ship, continue our story in that Matthew 14, what happened? We are told in verse 32 that the wind ceased. But there was one more miracle that morning, recorded in another version, you know, of the story in John 6:21. You know, so the Bible says in that particular place in John 6:21, when they willingly received him into the ship, the Bible says, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And we are told in verse 19 of that John 6 that when the Lord met his disciples, they had rowed about 25 to 30 furlongs. That means about 3 to 4 miles, right? We understand that 8 furlongs make a mile, as we know in elementary school and so on. Now we know the Sea of Galilee is about 7 to 8 miles long. That's what we know. And if they have rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they must be right in the middle when the Lord got in there, you know, Bible says, you know, in Matthew 14:24, they were asking the needs of Peter and so on, you know. So anyway, the implication is that a miracle or supernatural transformation took place right there. 3.5 to 4 miles, the sheep was immediately on the other side where they were going. So you see, so supernatural transportation, you know, took place right there, you know, on that Sea of Galilee, miracles and so on. And here, you know, we see faith, the faith of God, not only overriding the law of gravity. You see, faith is powerful, really. I mean, supernatural faith, overriding the law of gravity, but even superseding laws inherent in physical matter, making possible instantaneous transportation. So yeah, the faith of God, you know, so the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, overriding the law of gravity. And when he wants to do, he overrules the natural law, when he wants to do it and so on like that, you know. There are a couple of them in the Bible that, you know, that happened and so on like that, you know. Now, this event might have involved both the gift of faith and the working of miracles as possible. The Lord overrode the law of gravity and walk on the waters to come to the assistance of his faithful band that have risked their lives to obey his commandment. He sent them out there, and he was watching over them, even though it was on the mountain. That is supernatural power, the almighty God, the divine attribute of Christ. He knew what he was doing. So at the right time, he walked right unto them upon the water and so on, that, you know. Why did he do it? He did it because he was the one that sent them out there. He commanded them to go there, and so he knew what was happening to them. And the lesson for us is this: we may meet great dangers in obeying Christ. So what has to be done is that God sent you a message, or some other thing, you won't have difficulties in it. But the thing is, it will be with you in that difficulty. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just always ensure you are in the will of God. He sends you, assure. So he sent them. So we learn that we may meet great danger, in fact, almost all the time, in obeying the Lord. But if we do not throw away our confidence, God will move heaven and earth, if need be, to come to our aid. He always uses natural things in most of the time, but when there's a need, he can bring in supernatural, you know, things to pass. You know, he can employ the supernatural when there is a need for it and so on. Like the transportation, they have been rowing, you know, they have been rowing all night, right? That's about 3 a.m. in the morning, the first watch of the night, right? And so they were tired, you know. That's why he did that. He didn't just do anything for sure, you know. That's why that financial transportation of the boat and the contest right there. One time there was one man called, one evangelist, three evangelists and so forth, having a great crusade in Acts chapter 8, you know, in Samaria and so on. And many, there was great joy, many were saved and things like that, you know, and they called Peter and John to come from Jesus to come and pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost. All of them studied the law, say, come out of that crusade, you know, go to that better place and go and join that Ethiopian eunuch there and all that, you know. And of course he did, preach the gospel to him and everything like that, you know. Join that chariot and so on like that, you know. You know the story, I don't have to go into that today. And he went, baptized him, he preached the gospel to him and so on. That is many, many miles riding in the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now how will Philip get back? He has no chariot to go back on. God transported him in it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah, when you're on mission for Christ, don't worry about the thing. He will take care of everything in it. He had to come back supernaturally, transported him about I don't know how many miles and so over. And we'll find the Azotos, Bible says, and so like that, you know. So he did that for his disciples. They had been rowing all night. And they didn't want to continue rowing. So in the south of the ship was on the other side. Anyway, so that's the Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so like that, you know. So anyway, so we see. And he will move heaven and earth for his people when need be. Even in the days of Joshua, he did it for them. They have been fighting the Amorites, you know. And night was coming, you know, and if the night should come, you know, these people just escape. They know the terrain of the land, right? And they will just escape and try, you know, do some of the battle and so forth. What happened? Let me read to you in Joshua 10:12. He moved heaven and earth when there is a need for it. A supernatural event in Joshua 10:12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jesha? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Again, what happened? Not just making a show, there was a need, and the Lord met it. If it needs to move heaven and earth, amen? Praise the Lord. It will be for you and I too, no matter what situation we are in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let me even say one more thing. How gratitude was defined. I mean, we define. You know, not today, you know, and something like that. The day of Elisha the prophet, you know. Yeah, you know, prophets, they come in different characteristics. Some of them, like Elijah, are just the man of the wood, you know. And they just by themselves and so on that, you know. We don't even know anything about Elijah, nothing. All of a sudden in 1 Kings 17, we don't know his father, we don't know his mother, you know. Just came out of nowhere, out of the wood, you know, like a fork of lightning in the blue sky, just came. Anyway, but Elijah was a man of the people, amen. Praise the Lord. They are different. God has varieties. Praise God. You can't tie to that, to any particular thing and so on that, you know. So anyway, Elisha could mingle with the sons of the prophets. So one time, where they were living, they came too small. So they told Elisha that, look, I'm ready to go and get wood to build a larger place and so forth. Talking to the prophet, you mingle with the people and go. Oh, he said, you have to go with us. He is so humble, man. So he went with them. Anyway, the story is in 2 Kings 6, 15, where I'm going to this. But, so they were cutting wood and so on to go and build a larger place to live and so on. Elisha followed them in verse, 2 Kings 6, 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, talking to Elisha, for it was borrowed. It was a borrowed axe, right? And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and Elisha cut down a stick, and cut it into that, and the iron did swim. Iron swam, gravity defied, amen? Praise the Lord. When there is a need, he will do anything for his people. I mean, you know, he will do, God will go out of the way to do through his prophet, by himself and so on, that, you know, anything. That's why I say nothing shall be impossible, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Just put it in your mind, nothing with God, nothing shall be impossible. That solves all the problem, right? No matter what you face, find the promise in the word of God, and you get the answer right there. Therefore said he, take it up today, and he put out his hand and took it. Now, then in another instant, the same Lord Jesus, Apostle Paul has told the people, I appeal to Caesar, because they say, well, we are Romans, you go and meet your people and your judiciary, you go and talk to your brother. He said, no, I appeal to Caesar. Okay. You have to tell you, I go to go. So you have to go to Rome, right? So Acts 27, let me leave at 2 or 3 verses. They are familiar story, but supernatural intervention. What I'm talking about. Supernatural faith, right? You know, and so on, getting things done, looking unto Jesus. 27 of Acts verse 14. As they were going, there arose against it, meaning the ship, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Sound familiar? Like the disciples in Matthew 14, right? You know, anyway. And verse 20 says, And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, look at this place, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. No more hope and so on that, you know. No more hope. All hope was taken away. But with God, I was a man of God here. You know, that's not a law. And verse 21 says, But, you know, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sir, ye should have hearkened unto me and not to have loosed from Crete, and to have suffered, gained this arm and law. And now I exhort thee to be of good cheer. Sound like the Lord, you have heard from the Lord, right? Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. By what authority do you say that, Paul? Praise the Lord Jesus. They will ask the Lord, by what authority do you say this and so on. You know, they will ask the disciples. Now, here is the authority. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, the Lord Jesus appear in that angelic form. Amen. It has to be him because you can't serve an angel. Paul knew enough not to worship angels. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He knew enough not to worship an angel. It has to be the Lord Jesus. The same one that, you know, in Matthew 14 did that for his disciples. Here again, in his angel and so aside. Saying, you know, fear not, the same word. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that stay with thee. So, wherefore, verse 25, thus be of good cheer. For I believe God, you see that it shall be even as it has told me. So, no doubt here. Yeah? He was confident. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. When you hear his word, be confident. Now, we know there are many supernatural things in the Bible, miracles and so on. We all know of Elijah the prophet and so on. I just prophesied that one. It's a very familiar story and so forth. You know, and he was carried by the brook cherries and ravens feeding there supernaturally and so on like that, you know. It came a time when the brook dried up and the Lord said, you know what? Go ahead, go to Zarephath. The Lord said, I have commanded a widow woman to take care of you there and so on. So went Elijah to Zarephath and so forth. Be confident. According to the story, as he was entering the city, and he found a woman, as the Lord had said, and a gathering sticks and so forth. Oh, get me a little cup of water or whatever. And she was obedient. As she was going, you know what? Bring me a little cake also. Praise the Lord. No, that I cannot do. As you see me now, I'm only getting to see that's how I need to be able to make the last, you know, the flower I have, call it and so on, and for me and my son to eat and die. But let us say, don't worry about it. Just go and do as I tell you, for thus saith the Lord. The barrel of fish shall not wait, nor the cruse of oil fail, until the Lord has sent forth rain upon the earth. Faith upon both Elijah and the woman side, amen?
Amen.
Never met Elijah before, but you see the predestination, right? You know, and she just knew. But the man of God and all that, you know, Paul himself, you will think that, but God told me that this woman will feed me. He didn't doubt. He upon the word of God, he said, thus said the Lord, amen? God said, this woman will take care of you, right? So he could have been doubting himself and said, the woman didn't even have anything. He didn't think about that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So faith, you know, supernatural faith upon the word of God on both sides and so on. You enjoy miracles when you do that and so on. It's so sweet. Bible says they both ate and so on till the famine was over. And even later on, more miracles because of the faith of the woman, the woman's son died and so on. Never before has anybody been raised from the dead, no precedent that anybody was ever raised from the dead until that time. Maybe Moses and so forth, you know, that is a different case, right, and so on. You know the story, and he said, now I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What a kind of a faith to really end, that we may be able to speak God's word anywhere we go. Amen.
Amen.
And people are convinced and so on. I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So now, let's see now, so we can keep on going. Supernatural events and so on, supernatural faith, you know, by looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning his word in our own time. I don't say it can appear in an angel to you, but I believe we are living in an age where there will be many angelic visitations, amen? We have passed from in this age. I believe as we near the coming of the Lord, which is right now, we are near the coming of the Lord now. The coming of the Lord is at hand, you know? You can expect, like the Bible says, Hebrews tells us and all that, you know? So anyway, so we are living in the time, momentous time. You know, and you can expect great, we should expect a great thing from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, now, don't forget about Abraham and so on. Abraham, let's quickly talk about Abraham. Yes. In Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, you can do that same thing yourself by depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. who against hope believed in hope that he might be called the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall that seed be. He was depending upon those, hear the Lord, that's all he had. Right? I don't care what the doctor say, amen. Yeah. Oh, I passed the age of bearing, it doesn't matter, hear those, hear the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's all I really need, you know. Mm-hmm. No, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word will not pass away, amen. Mm-hmm. I know. And so anyway, so I tell you, he said, we wait upon the Lord. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Amen. Praise the Lord. He will make good his word. He will never fail. Now, you know, so let us begin to wrap this off here. So now, the Lord gave a parable in Luke chapter 18, you know, to encourage his children. Maybe I've been praying about something and so on, you know, for many times and so on, not to lose hope and so on and that, you know, to encourage us, to those, his children, who may be overwhelmed by distress, you know, over anything or anything and so on, you know. And this the Lord did, that they might know that their prayers, like the angel told Cornelius, that prayers have been heard. Amen?
Amen.
Acts chapter 10, I believe that is and so on. Okay? Prayers have been heard, don't have anxiety now. You know, they have been answered. You know, and though the answer does not yet appear, if you, as a child of God, continue praising the Lord, Abraham begins to glorify God. Sarah, I know what happened this month. Oh, nothing, my Lord. You know, I'm telling you, know. Oh, well, praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. So anyway, that's how it goes. Begin to let praise replace prayer as we are waiting for the manifestation. As far as God is, it is already done. You know, it's something, but it is there already. What is visible? Eh? Praise the Lord. As you don't give up, as well as you know. And so never fainting. Just holding to the promise of God, you know, and though the answer does not yet appear, if you continue to praise the Lord and so on, it will be made manifest and it will glorify God. And verse 7 says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear with them long? I tell you, he said that he will avenge them speedily. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So now, one thing is this. The Lord ask a question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Well, he didn't answer that question. Why didn't he answer the question? He asked a question. The Lord doesn't do anything like that. He didn't answer the question, you know. Anyway, I know why he didn't answer the question, because it's up to you and me to answer that question. Amen?
Amen.
Whether we're going to have faith or not. Amen? He will always do a part. Amen? Praise the Lord. So now, what kind of faith is the Lord talking about here? Is it faith for salvation? No. No, we don't pass that stage already. Amen? You know, surely, it is talking about the supernatural faith. The time he has been teaching them all along. Amen? For 3.5 years. Amen? Hallelujah. Like the war, the feeding of the multitude and so on. That's, you know, the raising of the widow of Lazy son, cast them and so on. You see, that's the kind of faith he's talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. The word he spoke about in John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the word that I do shall they do. That's the kind of faith he's talking about. You know, that he's talking about when they caught and so on, you know. So anyway, there are many who have faith in the goodness of God, but not so many who will stand out on his promise, where the element of danger, so-called, is involved. When that danger involved, people do not, I don't know, they are saying this, you know, they don't want to really stand for it. The kind of faith he's talking about, in closing, it is the faith that sees victory, even at an hour when evil seems to be prevailing on the earth.
Amen.
That's the kind of faith he's looking for, amen?
Mm-hmm.
And that the much evil, beginning of sorrow, you know, she was just showing me now what is happening in the presidency and the election and, you know, and so on. Biden has now no resigned. You know, just show me that.
she has dropped out of the race and so on. You see? Anyway, evil upon the face of the earth, you know. Yeah, I just hear that now. Anyway, so that's why we have to pray all the time. Pray for the leaders, pray for the government, pray for all of these things. Everything can happen overnight. Amen? So now, another thing is this. A faith that believes that God answers when there is no physical evidence of anything. You just take his word. That is the faith it's looking for. That believes that God answers when there is no physical evidence of an answer. That is the faith it's looking for. That's what it said in Hebrews 11. The only evidence you have, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. The invisible. Create the invisible. Eh? The unseen, create the spoon. We know that. So, brother and sister, let me just round up with this one scripture here in in Hebrews 10:35. No matter what you are going to do, any time, any place, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience now, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He has said, I will never say thee, I will never forsake thee. Father, we thank you for your word, thank you for your promises, Lord. Lord, our kinsman, redeemer, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, so much love us, even number the very hairs of our head. Father, we thank you. Who has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Father, we thank thee, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Glory be to your name, Lord. Thank you for your word. May life unto our feet, life unto our path. Lord, we thank you this afternoon. As we go this afternoon, Lord, we pray. We thank you for your promises already. Your word says you are with us always, even to the end of the age.
Amen.
So I will never give you nor forsake thee. We commit our way to your heart. Say, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy work unto the Lord. So shall your thought be established. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou we shall find favor on the right and on the left.
Amen.
Before whatever it matter.
Amen.
In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you because we are called to be overcomers. In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, through him that loved us. Little children, you know, he has overcome them already. By the virtue of the overcoming that our Lord Jesus did for us. So we go forth with our heads lifted up in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And singing and praising the name of the Lord, going from glory to glory, from victory to victory. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And be a blessing to whosoever will come our way. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for blessing us in your word. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.